Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning. If you take your Mennonite hymnal, please, and turn to number 96. Number 96.
In Ephesians, there's a pretty common verse in chapter 4. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are so angry. And then it continues, and do not give the devil a foothold. And I find that kind of interesting, that even if you do nothing, you might think that maybe if you just like don't let the other person know that you're angry at them, or if you think maybe it's better just to like keep it to yourself, actually, in doing so, you're not doing nothing. You're actually causing more damage. So it's important to be truthful to one another. And if you do have a grievance with another person, it's important to make sure they know that so you can work through it and learn to bear with one another. Would the ushers please come forward for the morning's offering? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you that we can come here and we can worship you, God. And I pray that we can just learn to speak truthfully with one another, God. And if we ever do have reason to be angry with others, God, that we can just learn to work through it with them, God, and that we don't keep it inside and give the devil a foothold, God. I want to thank you for today, God. I want to pray you would bless this offering in the hands that gave it. Amen.
Good morning. Give me a minute to get my technology all up and running here that hopefully will work. It worked this morning. Once I find the remote, we'll be in business. Bethany. There we go. Now we're in business. Thank you. It always makes me a little nervous when you first get up here because you never know if it's actually going to work or not. Get a little more. Oh, I don't need that. All right. I think we're in business now, so let's pray and see what God has for us this morning. Dear God, I thank you so much for meeting us here. God, I thank you for this church family. God, I thank you for meeting us where we're at. I thank you for providing for us in our lives. And God, I thank you for speaking to us. And God, I just pray that you would speak through me this morning the message that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, the title of the message is God Provides, Now What? And this all kind of came together in the last week. I had been preparing something else, and then this week, forget if it was Monday or Sunday, sometime in the last week, I felt like I should scrap that and start over again. So most of this, I was have been working second shift for the past 2 weeks, so most of this comes at like 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning. So I really feel like this is what God has for us this morning. And it's something that really spoke to me just in thinking about our theme and God being our provider. So it's going to be some of me sharing my testimony and how I felt like God has provided for me in my life, and some about what we do with the things that God provides for us in our lives, what, how the Israelites responded to God, and how we sometimes respond to God also. So the main text for this morning is going to be Exodus 15 and 16. Does anybody know what happened in Exodus 14 without looking? Mike, you're looking. That's cheating. Anybody know from memory what happened in Exodus 14? A pretty big, significant event in the life of the Israelites. Yes, crossing the Red Sea. So Exodus 14, and just peek back there real quick. 14 and verse 19, then the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. So the angel and the cloud are both now behind the Israelites. Coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off, so they had difficulty driving, and the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea to the waters, so the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians went fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. So God does this miraculous thing for the Israelites. They get to the sea and they're like, oh man, what are we going to do? There's a big wall of water in front of us. Behind us is these angry mob of Egyptians, the fastest chariots that Pharaoh had to send. And, oh, we don't know what to do. What are we going to do? So God tells Moses to put his hand out and part the sea, and the Israelites walk through. The next chapter, 15, Moses and Miriam. Moses sings a song. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and the rider he has hurled into the sea. They sing this whole song of thanksgiving to God, and then we get to Exodus 15, verse 22. Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled into the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for him, and there he tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So it took a grand total of 3 days before the Israelites started to grumble again to Moses, but through Moses to God, that you brought us through the desert or through the sea, and now you brought us to this place where we can't even get a drink. So it took them a grand total of 3 days before they started to grumble. Exodus 16, 1-9. This will be familiar to you also. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve and the entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them to see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread that you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you are not grumbling against us, but against God? Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And it keeps going, and they gather and they gather and they gather, and then eventually they start grumbling about all this manna and quail and how they're tired of eating it. So again, they made it, 2 months that time between a miracle and we're ready to grumble again because you brought us out here, and we would have rather got killed in Egypt, because there we had, it was like Shady Maple or something. They had big pots of meat and they could just eat when they wanted. But now God took them into this desert and all they have is quail and manna. So God provided for them quail and manna. But they did that. They went to God with that face. How many of you have ever used that face with your dad? Probably didn't help get you what you wanted, but she does it really cute. But I don't think she still got what she wanted. So like I said, today I want to share a couple of things in life that happened to me in ways that I I feel like God has provided for me and my family. So just to get right into it, God provides today. So the first one I want to talk about is my mom's breast cancer, and I'm actually not going to talk about it. She's going to, because I was really little and don't remember a lot of it. And it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so there's no better time to do it than now. So, Mom, if you want to come up and share a little bit, do you want the podium? Or?
Well, like Todd said, he called or texted me the other day and said, would you be willing to share? And I said, sure. How long? He said 5 or 10 minutes or whatever. It's like, well, I'm not doing the whole sermon for you. I mean, we want to do everything we can for our kids. So that's why at the age of 32, when I got the diagnosis that I had breast cancer, like you said, he was young. I think 2 and 5. Yeah.
5.
I was 2. He was 5.
Yep.
And of course, that was my major concern when I got that. It's like, oh, man, I'm not going to see them graduate. I'm not going to see them get married. I'm not going to see grandkids. I'm going to miss all of that. But I thought, well, not necessarily. So after we thought about it for a while and we had a great support system, I thought, too much. We can't handle it ourselves. So we have to just turn it over and see what happens. So we turned it over, we buckled up, and we took off on the ride. But I wasn't the driver anymore. I had to give that up, which is not an easy thing to do. So I became the passenger, and we went on the journey. So I had chemo, surgery, chemo, radiation, which took a year from start to finish for everything. And like I said, we had a great support system. God put people in our path all along the way. A lot of times you don't realize that when it's happening because it's kind of a blur. Even now sometimes somebody will say something, they'll say, I don't really remember that. And I know you guys sometimes will say, oh, they remember going along for chemo, because they would sometimes go along when I'd get treatments, and they'd come along, and then we'd go to lunch or something afterwards. Because I came home the first day we went for chemo, I thought, we took buckets along in the car, and I thought, oh, I'm going to be sick. I came home, and I stenciled my living room. I felt fine. And the doctor at the time said, he can tell by the way people react to the news and their attitudes how they will react to the chemo. So he said, don't worry about it, you'll be fine. He knew right away. So a lot of people will say, why me? And they'll grumble just like God said. But I never said that. It's like, why not me? Why am I special? And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have problems along the way. So those problems will make you stronger, too. That's in your weakest time is when you become strong. So bad things happen to good people, and you make the best of it and carry on. So that's why I'm wearing my T-shirt today. I don't usually wear a T-shirt to church, but my shirt says, in this world you will have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world. And that's John 16:33, and that's pretty much our motto that we go by. Yeah.
Thank you. The only, I remember, yeah, maybe 2 or 3 things from, I remember some days of Mom being sick, and I remember some days of Dad burning supper. He gave it his best effort. But, and I remember wearing Mom's wig for Halloween costumes for like years and years afterward. But the main thing that I take away from that and God providing is today is their anniversary. So, you know, 35 years, higher, I don't know, some amount of years, 40 years. And just the witness that they are to me and my family of what a marriage should look like, and working through what could possibly be one of the hardest things that a couple ever has to go through. So the next one, how many of you have ever ridden in the back of one of those? Oh, a fair amount. So I was in sixth grade, I think. Yeah, my parents are nodding their heads. I was in sixth grade, and I was to be walking in the Denver Fair. This was going to be like a highlight of my life. I was going to be in the Denver Fair holding one of those signs, like the advertiser signs. And so I went in to go to the bathroom with one of my buddies, and we were yapping. And then we were coming back out of that round church there in Denver, St. John's or whatever the one is there. And they have two glass doors as you come out. My buddy went through the one that was open, and I went to push the one that was closed, and it was not unlocked. And my knee hit the door, and I cut an artery in the back of my leg, like three-quarters of the way off. So there was some, sorry for squeamish, but there was some blood action in the back. Sorry, Travis. But the way God provided through this, there happened to be a guy there. I still remember his name. His name was Calvin Yule, and he drove for the Yule Trucking, the oil or gas, whatever they do. So he tackles me on the ground and ripped his T-shirt off and tied it around my leg like a tourniquet. And probably saved my life, to be really realistic. So God provided a man there at the same time that knew something of first aid and knew what to do. And also, since it was the Denver parade, said ambulance was going to be in the parade, so they were close by. They got out of line of the parade and came to the church and picked me up. And we went if you've never ridden in the back, they are not nice. Especially when they're driving fast. It was like the most bumpy ride up 222 you could ever imagine, with people talking to you and things in your arms and you're strapped to a bed. So God provided an ambulance there because it was supposed to be the parade that took me to LGH. And hopefully most of you have never been in there, but that's what the outside of LGH looks like. So while we were there, I don't remember a whole lot about it. I felt like I slept for a lot of it. I would try to watch a movie, and I'd watch like 2 minutes and then fall asleep. But so I had surgery as soon as we got there, came out, and they would check my foot to see if there was a pulse there. And they got a pulse, and then one time the nurse got this look on her face because there was no longer a pulse in my foot. Then it was back again to have some more surgery. And I got pretty sick because you're supposed to fast and things before you have general anesthesia. But since it was an emergency, you can't fast. You didn't know that you were going to have potentially life-changing event happen. But yeah, the nurses there took awesome care of me, and I guess probably my parents too. So you're supposed to make some money for your class trip if you walked in the parade. And I don't know if we got it from the school then or not, but the nurses at LGH took a collection to give us some money for this class trip. So next event in life. I said God provides at Woodcrest, but this kind of, then I go back a little bit. So I went to Millersville University in the fall of 2004. In the spring of 2005, I started going to University Christian Fellowship. Now you guys sneak peek what's coming next. I started going to University Christian Fellowship at Millersville, and that's where I would say that I became a Christian. We went to church all growing up, but none of the messages ever sunk in to me. So 2005, I became a Christian, and also in the spring of 2005, Phil came to UCF to talk about Woodcrest and that they need counselors. I was going to put up a picture of him, but he looks the same now that he did 14 years. Maybe a little less hair, yes. So he came in 2005. And then God provided this girl right there. That's where I didn't really meet Heidi there. We went to high school together, but we didn't really meet in high school. I remember her in one class. She remembers me in a different class, but not. She probably wouldn't have talked to me in high school either, for that matter. Yeah, that's when I had a lot of hair, too. And then just a kind of a smaller story, but at Woodcrest, we always did a teen week where we took the kids canoeing. And I don't remember exactly what happened, if their canoe tipped or what, but this girl's glasses fell in the creek or the river. And she's like, oh my word, my glasses just fell in the creek. What are we going to do? So we're like, well, there's not really anything else to do, so we'll pray about it and see if we can find your glasses. And wouldn't you know, as soon as we're done praying, these glasses, like, mysteriously get found in the middle of a rushing river. That's one that sticks with me. There's a lot of stories from Woodcrest, but that's usually the one that sticks with me is God answering instantaneously. It doesn't always happen that way. It seems like oftentimes we have to wait, but that time it was an immediate answer to prayer. Now, more recent. So our three pregnancies didn't go the way that anybody writes pregnancies to go in a pregnancy book. We spent a lot of time at this wonderful place. The place isn't maybe wonderful, but the staff that we met while we were at Ephrata was tremendous. We spent a lot of time there. I felt like we got to know the people there very well. And there's certain people that went above and beyond their calling as a doctor or nurse or midwife. The first one, this lady, Joy Yoder, I don't know her story much. Heidi probably knows it better than I do, but she's one that kind of felt like she took us under her wing. She wasn't afraid to tell us the truth, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. But the thing that sticks out the most about her to me is, I think it was with Ellie. She wasn't even on duty anymore and came back to our room and sat on the bed and just talked to Heidi about how things were going. And like, it was more of a friendship than a provider to patient, that she took time out of. She could have been leaving and going home, but she took time to come and talk to us. And I think she talked to Heidi before we went to Hershey too, just telling her, you know, everything's going to be okay. And then we ended up here. Yes, Hershey's not always the sweetest place on earth. But there's some God stories in that too. The nurse, one of the nurses that went with us, went not with us, went with Heidi in the ambulance from Ephrata to Hershey, had been there with all of our children. And this last one with Ellie, she was working very, very part-time and just happened to be working when Heidi got sent to Hershey. So that to us felt like a God moment, to have somebody that you know going with you. And just the limited hours that she worked, just happening, not just happening, God putting her there at that specific time for this happening, felt that God was definitely there. And then while at Hershey, Heidi ended up spending several weeks at the Ronald McDonald House, which hopefully you never have to stay there, but if you do, you see that that's an answer to prayer. Travis and Carolyn have lived through that as well. But you all were an answer to prayer for us. While there, too, Heidi needed 24-hour babysitting, maternity sitting, whatever the proper word is. You couldn't be at the Ronald McDonald House as an expectant mother without somebody with you all the time. So you all took several trips up there so that I could still work some and Yes, we are grateful for you all and you guys being in our lives and also family. That I can remember, one of them that sticks out in my mind is Heidi's aunt Jeanette coming at, I don't know what time she left her house, probably 3 in the morning. She got up to the hospital, and we were actually over in the hospital, and she came in with Starbucks, and that was like, wow, here's an angel coming. But yes, you all were amazing and continue to be amazing, and all of the orchestrating that went off without a hitch during that time, nobody got sick or had car problems or something with all of these moving to back and forth. And then work family also during this time, the guys that I work with signed up to bring us meals for, I don't know, it was a long time, 3 times a week. So they really stepped up to help us out while we were staying at Carl and Sylvia's house. Yeah, I'm just really thankful for them, and kind of the way I got to my job is a God-providing moment in itself. It was a week before we were supposed to get, 2 weeks before we were supposed to get married, and Heidi was supposed to be working at LGH as a certified occupational therapy assistant, and they called and said, yeah, we don't have a job for you anymore. And I didn't have a job because we were finishing up camp, so we were about to get married with neither of us having full-time employment. And then a week before, actually 3 days before we were supposed to get married, I started at Paul B. through a connection at camp. So that was an answer to prayer also. Psalm 126 says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. It's just a good reminder. Their mouths were filled with laughter, their tongues with songs of joy. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. So we have a choice. We can be filled with joy, or we can grumble. And I think sometimes we just need a reminder of all of the things that God has done for us. And that's part of what I want to have you guys think about. Just how has God provided for you? So my question is, if anybody, or 3 or 4 of you, would have the boldness to share a story of how God has provided for you. And bring a mic if somebody would like to share. I'll try not to trip on the cord.
I'll start it off. When we were working with Trav and Carolyn with the youth, and we went to West Virginia, during that time, I had a lot of trouble with blood in my urine, and it was not a great time at that time, and I had issues a little bit while we were there, and I was just hoping that everything would be okay. Well, one morning when we were deciding that we had to walk around praying around the town, well, that morning I started having blood, and I thought, oh my gosh, I cannot go walk around, because every minute I had to go to the bathroom. And so we had prayer time and Bible time each morning, and I just prayed to God. I said, you know, if you really want me to do this, I need your help. So when 9 o'clock came and I thought, I'm going, and what happens, happens. Well, I think we were gone for 2 hours, and so he provided relief for me, which, so that was one of my stories. Next.
This is Esther. I just would like to thank God for the way He has provided for me in the last 2 weeks. I went to Puerto Rico to clean out a house and get it ready to sell. And it was just amazing how God brought people into our midst that helped us. There was so much junk in the house, we didn't know what to do with it. And we'd had to load it up and take it to a garbage pile or something, and we didn't know where that was. We didn't have a truck. And anyway, we set stuff out in the sidewalk and put a free sign on it, and God just took it away. And so I really want to praise Him for the way He helped us get a lot done.
So I'll share a story about involvement with the youth group. When we decided that we were going to go to Guatemala, that was a very large decision for a lot of different reasons. Financially, one, because it was not going to be a cheap trip. But as we started down that path, God seemed to figure out ways to make that work out. And then as we got closer to the time, the decision was made that Todd and Heidi would not go along, because of concerns about the Zika virus and stuff. And so 20 kids was not something I was looking forward to taking into an international, you know, if I come back with 3/4, I probably would be happy. But God provided Jay, who was the guy that came along with us from ORI, who had done it before and related well with the kids and took us through all the navigational parts of the trip that we, bus rides and airports and different things. So all the worries that I might have had about how that would go were taken care of. So.
Hi, this is Michelle Fry. I know Aiden can attest to this. He's like, what?
God,
12 years of being a single mom has been not always easy financially, with not being in control of finances all the time, whether it was having to go back to work full time. I was furloughed at one point, totally out of my control, was not able to get food stamps because I made like $2 more than I was supposed to. So just God's provision for us financially has been amazing. I've been able to keep the house that the kids grew up in, and we've never been without. And it really is a testament to God taking care of me and my 3 kids. Christmases have never, they've always had stuff, and even my oldest daughter, I know she says, Mom, I don't know how you did it. You know, whatever we asked for, we always got. And, of course, it wasn't a lot, but God has always provided, and I can't forget that.
Thank you all for sharing different ways that God has provided for you. It's good for us to remember, as you know, we're coming into Thanksgiving, and that's the time that we think about things that we're thankful for. Even more than that, just remembering all of the ways that God has provided, even especially during times when it feels more barren, feels like you're just going through life. Just taking time to remember how good he's been to us. After all the ways that God provides for us, how can we find it, or I find it, so easy to grumble, oh God, why couldn't this, or God, why couldn't that? Look how many times God could and God did. I would venture to guess that he could and did more than he why couldn't and why didn't. And it was this week, I just felt very convicted about, you know, I give God this little box of my life. You can have this much. But what would happen in my life, and what would happen in your life, if we gave him the whole thing? Not just, oh God, you get these 10 minutes in the morning, or you get these half hour before I go to bed. What if we gave him the whole thing? What if we gave him while we were at work, or while we were at the grocery store, or while we were playing with our kids, or while we were on Facebook or InstaChat or whatever the newest thing is? I feel like God wants more of me and needs more of me and you also. The amount that we're willing to give, I feel like God can multiply that for his good. Are you willing to live your life with supreme trust in God, knowing that he'll bring you through? How many times has he done it before in your life? Maybe he's asking you to do something that feels crazy, or, oh, there's no way I could do that, or how are we going to raise $30,000 to go on a mission trip with a church of 100 people? God's done it before. Why wouldn't he take care of you this time? And we have no reason not to trust him. Look at all these stories that were shared, not just mine, but and I'm sure the rest of you have stories too. In 2 Timothy 1:7-8, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. We are not to be timid. He gave us power, love, and self-discipline. Imagine the possibilities. Dream big. God is a big God. What are you scared to pray, fearing that it might actually happen? What are you scared to pray, feeling that it might actually happen? Go big. God parted the Red Sea. God raised people from the dead. God's provided for you in the past. God's not done yet, and neither are you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what stage of life, what school you're at, what school you're going to, what's in your past. We just need to let him out of the box that we keep him in. A little closing cartoon here. Oh, Rodney has his little box, and God says, Rodney, we should talk. Let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you so much for providing for us, God. There's lots of stories in this room of ways that you have provided for people. Some that we know about, some that we don't know about, some that we'll never know about. Some that we don't even recognize yet that you provided for us. God, I just pray that we could take time every day just to remember how good you are, how many times you provide for us. And God, I pray that we would go forth in boldness and courage to do big things for you. God, you're a big God, and we know that that you can do anything you want. You can part a sea, you can raise people from the dead. You call people to yourself, you save people from sin, you've saved us all from ourselves and provided a way to eternity for each of us. God, I thank you for loving us, and thank you for sending your Son to the earth to show us how we should live. And God, I just pray that we could just share the ways that you have provided with people that we know, just to strengthen them and to show them how good you are too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take your Mennonite hymnal and turn to number So before we get into our regular prayer and share time, we're going to have a special prayer time for Autumn before she goes on her mission trip to Uganda. So Autumn's going to stand in the middle here, and any friends, family, youth group, youth leader, whoever, come out and we'll have a special time of prayer for Autumn before she goes on her mission trip, so she can see the way God provides for her in her trip. And Travis, do you want to pray?
Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We want to lift up Autumn to you. We just pray that you would guide and protect her. We just pray for your Holy Spirit to fill her life, Lord God, and provide opportunity for her to be an example of you and witness for you, Lord God.
Amen.
So now is your time for prayer requests and praises. I'm going to borrow a pen. Thank you.
So I think Daryl had said something last week, but I don't think he's here, so I'm going to say something again. So in 2 weeks, yesterday, the outreach committee is planning an event at Adamstown Park. It's kind of geared sort of as an alternative to trick-or-treating. We're doing it from 3 to 5, and there's going to be, the plan is to have games that kind of win or lose. The kids are going to get candy or prizes or whatever. And apple cider, hot chocolate, soft pretzels. So it's geared towards kids, but yeah, everybody's supposed to come. And I think we're probably could use some help running some of it as well. It's not going to involve much, I don't think. But so next week we'll try to have a sign up sheet in the back, maybe detailed more of what you'd be doing specifically, but I kind of think it would just be like standing there and, you know, depending on what the game is, handing the kid, you know, a ball to throw or something. You can look for that next week. And to your message, thank you, Todd, and I would say I think probably a lot more people have things that they could share, but for whatever reason, we didn't share.
Yes, this is Lucy, and I would ask that you continue to remember my mom in your prayers. She still struggles with nausea, not feeling well. We met as a family last night for her. She asked for a prayer and anointing, and we did that, and she said, just pray, too, that she can be at peace through all of this and continue to persevere. She does have an appointment to see a GI specialist again, but not till November 16th, so you can never get in anywhere fast. So she just pray that she can continue and that she will find some relief. Thanks.
This is Randy. An update on Hayden. We did sign the last papers. They went to the lawyer. I think the tentative date is November the 9th. His court date is Friday when Autumn comes back. We had to move her driving test to November the 8th, so that worked out. So as of now, it's, I think, for November the 9th down at Reading. We will know more details in the next coming week. So just pray for us. Usually when this happens, things in the household break, go haywire. So just remember us. Thank you.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for meeting us here this morning. God, I thank you for each one here. Thank you for the way that you've provided for each person. God, we just ask for your provision, things that were shared, the outreach at the Adamstown Park. God, I pray that you would provide the help that's needed and also provide the people to come and just allow us to minister to them and show them your love. And we pray for Lucy's mom, and God, I just pray that you would be comforting her and allowing her to feel well and to lean on you and rely on you and just see the things that you've brought her through so far in her life, God. And just allow her to continue to be a witness, even though things are difficult and she doesn't feel well. And God, I just lift up Randy and Karen's family, and especially Hayden. God, we just pray that the next few weeks would be smooth and would go well. And God, just thank you for Hayden and the addition that he will be to their family. And God, I just pray for your continued blessing on them. God, we just look forward to seeing the ways that you continue to provide for us in our lives, and just want to continue to point people to you through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.